know what the best thing about the unpardonable sin is? Do you, huh? Do you? I'm going to tell you in a little bit. No, today. I'm going to definitely tell you today. I'm not going to make them later. Yeah, I know. I've done that before. Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Going to talk to you today about verses that don't apply to you. Here's the best thing about the unforgivable sin, so-called unpardonable sin. You can't commit it. That's right, you can't do it. And I'm going to show you why and how. And not only that, but even those Israelites in that day to whom that threat applied and who committed these so-called unforgivable sin, their sin will be forgiven. It just won't be forgiven in this aeon or that which is impending. Here's the question you need to ask. What about the aeon after that? Nobody asks that question because nobody knows about the aeons. Oh, and nobody knows about the aeons because of a horrible mistranslation of the Greek word aeon, making it eternity. In some places, age in another place, world in another place, never in one place, ever in another place. And a couple times, the KJV translators just decided not to translate it. For instance, Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall never die. Never die. No, shall not die for the aeon. They changed not to never, and they just forgot about aeon. They didn't forget about it. They looked at it and scratched their heads. What's that? And they, well, let's just don't translate it. What do you mean not translate it?
Hey, Yogi, I see a word here, aeon.
Let's just not translate that stupid thing. Who cares? Nobody's going to know the difference.
And Yogi, what if they invent a concordant?
Hey, shut up, boo-boo. They're not going to invent anything so stupid sounding as a concordance. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Shut up. Shut the heck up, boo-boo. I don't give a crap what you think. They're not going to invent a concordance. We're going to get away with this. I don't feel like translating it today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Yogi.
So they did not translate it. And it's caused a world of hurt. A world of hurt. Unless you have a concordance. So let's rehearse Matthew 12, the unforgivable sin. Then we're going to go to the place when it happened. Because I know where it came down upon the heads of the Jews. And we are going to go back to Matthew 12. We're going to go back to Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore, I'm saying to you, this is our Lord speaking, every sin and blasphemy shall be pardoned humans, yet the blasphemy of the Spirit shall not be pardoned. And whosoever may be saying a word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned him. Yet whoever may be saying aught against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him, neither in this aeon nor in that which is impending. Now, people think that when he says against the Holy Spirit, that this is a timeless thing, and it's a general sin against the Holy Spirit, and nobody defines what that is. What do you mean, sin against the Holy Spirit? Well, like, how do you do that? It'd be helpful to know if this is going to disqualify me, if this is going to doom me to hell for eternity, it would be helpful to elucidate and elaborate instead of obfuscate on this word, on this term here. So I think it's obfuscate. It's obfuscate. What did I say? I don't know what I said, but it's obfuscate. It's a tough word to say, but it's a good one to have in your vocabularic arsenal. So now here's where it happened. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to go to other verses to show you verses that don't apply to you. Here's a passage that does not apply to you in Acts chapter 2. Now, this is a funny thing. Maybe you've heard me say this before. I once saw a bumper sticker. I was parked at the Barnes & Noble in Mansfield, Ohio, and I saw some disturbing bumper stickers in that parking lot. But this one was a Christian bumper sticker, and it said, Obey Acts 2:38. Obey Acts 2:38. What? How can I? I'm going to show you how it's impossible to obey Acts 2:38. And this has to do with the unforgivable sin. And it also has to do with Hebrews. This is another one of those Jewish passages that applies to, guess what, the Jews and their specific call. Now, Acts 2, Pentecost. The famous Pentecost, where the disciples have been tarrying in the upper room, playing cards, some kind of cards, crazy eights or something, and Jesus, the Spirit came and blew on them, and they ran out of the room. Peter became the spokesperson, and everybody from the different nations that were there for the feast heard Peter in their own language. Peter said this, "Men Israelites," I'm in verse 22 of Acts 2, "hear these words, Jesus the Nazarene, a man demonstrated to be from God for you," demonstrated, "told you the Jews needed a sign, and God gave him a sign." He was gracious. Jesus gave him all kinds of signs. So it was important that it be demonstrated in order for them to commit this sin. Because if they could say, well, how did we know? There was no evidence. Well, they all knew that he raised Lazarus from the dead, fed the multitude. So this was common knowledge. Nobody was without excuse here. A man demonstrated to be from God for you. Important line there, for you, not for anybody else, for you, the Jews. By powerful deeds and miracles and signs. There it is. That's it, wrapped up right there in the shell of a nut for the Jews. It's all about powerful deeds and miracles and signs. And if you want to see powerful deeds and miracles and signs, then you have Israel blood running through your veins, either literal or metaphorical. It doesn't matter. We're walking, the higher call is a call of Paul. We're walking by faith, not perception. It's not about making the deaf hear and the blind see. It was then, but it's not now. We're in an era of faith. God will restore those miracles as the kingdom draws near. Maybe not even. Maybe way, way before the kingdom draws near, like just at the tail end. But now, these are false signs, false deeds, false miracles. These things God does through him in the midst of you. What a great passage this is. In the midst of you. He didn't do it on the other side of town. He didn't do it in a faraway country, and they read about it in the Jerusalem Post. He did it in their midst, according as you yourselves are aware. So here's the evidence coming out, and this is why Jesus did these miracles. He did it so that some would believe, but he also did it so that others would have evidence against them, and they will be convicted that they simply did not believe. You say, well, Martin, only God can give belief. I know. That's the relative perspective, not the absolute. Don't throw that in here. It's not helpful at this time. It isn't. We're dealing with people who are unbelievers. And this is the relative viewpoint. This is where we live. This is where we work. This is where we operate. We're wrestling against Satan. Martin, I thought God was in charge of it. He is in charge of everything, including Satan. Hey, you know, take it up with Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, who tells us about the armor of God to withstand the stratagems of the adversary. Paul says Satan withstood us. So we have an adversary to deal with. We're not living in the absolute. We're not hanging our hammock at the consummation. We have real battles going on here. I know God's behind them all. That's what ultimately comforts us. But in the meantime, we're in a battle. Powerful deeds, miracles in your midst, according as you yourselves are aware. This one, capital O, given up in the specific counsel and foreknowledge of God, you, and he's pointing at them. I can imagine this. It's like a Shakespeare play. You, Peter, just takes he points a finger at him. How can you not? How can you not picture him pointing a finger? You darn right he pointed a finger. Yet people tell us today, don't point fingers at other people. Why? Peter did it and Jesus did it. You, hypocrites, vipers. And Peter says, you assassinate this one. You lawless ones, you assassinate him by the hand of the lawless. You gibbeting by the hand of the lawless, assassinate. Yeah, there's an accusatory finger because they did it. Sorry. The Jews killed Christ. Yeah. I'm not anti-Semitic, but people are, and that's why. But it's a fact. They forced Pilate's hand. Who's behind it all? Yeah, I know. God is behind it all. I know that. Where do you stop? I mean, Satan did it. Satan killed Christ, right? Can we say that? Yeah. Can we say that Pilate killed Christ? Yeah, in a sense, he turned him over, but he didn't actually kill him. The Romans who drove the nails, well, they didn't actually kill him. Everybody's complicit. There's a long line of conspirators here. And the top one is not a conspirator at all. In fact, it's this one given up in the specific counsel and foreknowledge of God. I know I'm getting off the subject here, but I can't help it. God did it, but yet Peter's still pointing the finger. Do you see what's happening here? I hope this is helpful, because the most questions I get, the overwhelming amount of questions I get, is people who don't understand the difference between the absolute and the relative perspective. And here it is in one verse here. I really try to draw up as much patience as I can on this, because I answer this question over and over and over again. Of course, the people writing me don't realize that. They're asking it for the first time. But Jesus Christ was given up in the specific counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's the absolute viewpoint. God did it. Okay, now we're going to forget about that, and we're going to say, you, gibbeting by the hand of the lawless assassinate. You assassinated him. And the people could have said, but Peter, you just said that it was delivered up in the specific counsel and foreknowledge of God, so blame him. Why don't you point your finger at heaven? God did it. Peter said, yeah, but you, this is what he could have said. He didn't say this. You were ignorant of it. In your heart, you were ignorant of it. And you did this out of ignorance. And again, that's why Jesus forgave them at the cross. Jesus said, remember, we just read it, Matthew 12, you can diss me, you can stiff arm me, and that sin will be forgiven you, and it was forgiven at the cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And so, but now we have another testimony of the Holy Spirit here in Acts chapter 2 through Peter. Did I make that clear? I hope you got that, the absolute and the relative perspective. Absolute is the ultimate cause of all causes, and that's God. The buck stops at God's desk. The relative viewpoint, the root word there is relate. There are things that relate to us. And so there, it's not considering why things are happening. It's just considering that things are happening. The difference between the absolute and the relative viewpoint, if I could put it in a more picturesque way, is to say that the absolute viewpoint is like looking over the fence. The relative viewpoint is looking through a knothole in the fence at the action on the stage. This one given up in the specific counsel foreknowledge of God, you gibbeting by the hand of the lawless assassinate, whom God raises, loosing the pangs of death, for as much as it was not possible for him to be held by it. And so, more evidence, the resurrection of Christ. Not only that, but in case somebody missed that news flash, there were 500 people saw him, and there were many. Was it 500 that came out of the graves, or was it 500 that saw him? Yeah, I think it was 500 that saw him. I'll check. Oh, geez, look at the time. I'll check on that for you tomorrow. But evidence upon evidence upon evidence, and what's about to happen here in Acts 2:38, you are not going to believe. And this end up bringing us to the situation in Hebrews, for the Hebrews, which is why Paul wrote that letter. And I didn't do this on purpose, I promise you. Well, tomorrow I'm going to tell you why you cannot obey Acts 2:38, and I guess this will be a verses that don't apply to you part one. Tomorrow, verses that don't apply to you part two. This has been Martin Zender. Thank you for listening to this show. I couldn't do it unless you were listening. You encourage me. Write me. Drop me a line. Let me know you're listening. It helps. I need the encouragement. I really do.